turn your Bible to Psalms chapter number 90. Tell you what, first get Matthew chapter number 6. Just stick your finger right there. Hold Matthew chapter number 6 and then go to Psalms chapter number 90. Just a simple thought this morning. I know what time it is. And I just said that to comfort you. I really don't care. I came to get in this morning. I didn't come to get out. Little boy grew up in the Methodist church. He spent the night with his little Baptist buddy one Saturday night. Went to church with him on Sunday morning. Little Baptist boy's daddy was the pastor. He got up to preach, and the little Methodist boy poked his Baptist buddy and said, "What's he doing?" Said, "Well, he's about to preach." And the preacher took off his coat. He said, "What's he doing now?" He said, "He's about to show enough preach." He reached up and loosened the knot on his tie and unbuttoned the top button on his shirt. And he said, "What's he doing now?" He said, "He's fitting to let her rip." He rolled up his sleeves and he said, "Uh-oh, what's that mean?" He said, "He's fixed sure enough. He's fitting to throw down. He's fitting to preach." Took off his watch and laid it on the pulpit. The little Methodist boy said, "What's that mean?" The little Baptist boy said, "Not a thing." Amen. Not a thing. Amen. We will be mindful of the time this morning, but I do want to mind the Lord. Here I go. Amen. What's this mean? Not a thing. Amen. Psalms chapter number 90. I want to look at a verse this morning. My heart's a little bit full. I got to watching Brother Tommy rejoice and seeing people come to the altar and just weep and thank God for His goodness. And man, I just can't get over how good God is. Amen. I mean, it just absolutely overwhelms me. Sometimes it just gets me. I know who I am. I know what I am. I really know what I was. I ain't what I ought to be, but thank God I ain't what I was. Amen. And I get to thinking about God's mercy and His grace and how He's blessed us and answered prayers and how we've seen miracle after miracle without the first healing line. Don't die on me. I hadn't bopped nobody on the head, but I'm glad Jesus has bopped some on the heart. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad He has stepped in where the doctor said, I don't know. And the Lord has just said over and over and over, watch this. Watch this. I've heard several doctors, I'll preach in a minute, maybe. I've heard several doctors over the last few years say, "This had to be God. This had to be God. This is beyond us." Amen. A little nurse down at the rehab center where Brother Anthony was laying in the coma when he woke up, they said, "This had to be God." Nobody here could even predict that he would live, much less walk and talk. It had to be God. The oncologist, ain't it an oncologist, Brother Dave, on their brochure advertising their doctor's office, "Give God the glory for Sister Ashley." Amen. I like it when God shows up when nothing else is possible. And even the world looks on and says, "Huh. It must be something higher than medicine." Amen. It's Him. Amen. Psalms chapter number 90. I'll try to give you right quick. I've got 3 points this morning. Like one preacher said, this message will be like a fat boy crawling through a barbed wire fence. About 3 points and we'll be through. Amen. But seriously, this morning I have 3 points, but I only really have one on my heart. So I just want to share a thought with you this morning. Psalms chapter number 90. And look with me at verse number 12. If you're there, say amen. The psalmist said, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. There is an old saying that says you are never too old to learn. Somebody said you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I don't know who coined that phrase, but they never fooled with dogs very much. Because you can teach an old dog new tricks. You are never too old to learn. Have you ever figured something out, and just in life in general, and you figured something out and you thought to yourself, man, I wish I'd have figured this out a long time ago.
Yeah,
how many of you are 40 or above? Raise your hand. Y'all feel my pain, don't you? Amen. 40 and above. How many of you wish you'd have known at 20 what you knew now? Come on, talk to me. It seemed like the older we get, the more we learn. I remember when I was 20, I thought I had learned it all. Oh yeah, I remember being so full of myself, and boy, I thought I had arrived. I thought I knew everything. But the older I get, the more I realize, the less I know. Amen. And it seems like in my late 40s, I'm learning more. Maybe I've gotten a little patience. I don't know what it is. But it seems like I'm learning more now than I ever have in my life. Amen. And some of these things, I'm thinking, well, I wish I'd have figured this out a long time ago. Amen. Back in them early days of our marriage, when my wife was throwing stuff at me and I was hiding under the bed trying to get away from. No, I'm kidding. But back those days when we fought like cats and dogs, you know what I figured out? Kissing's a whole much more fun.
Amen.
Amen. We just don't fight anymore. We just make up, Brother Charles. That's better, ain't it? Amen. But you're never really too old to learn. In this psalm, in this verse that we've read, the Bible said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I'll tell you what I think that means. Teach us to number our days. Now, I'm not rewording the Bible. I'd rather have my tongue cut out than do that.
Amen.
But I believe what he's saying is help us to, or teach us to number our days that we might recognize how few they are.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? If I live to November, I'll turn 50 years old. And I know I don't look it. People tell me that. You're too young to have grandchildren. I appreciate people telling me that. I really, really do. Amen. But I'll turn 50 years old in November. It seems like just yesterday, my wife and I were just kids walking down the aisle and repeating our vows in front of Brother J.M. It seems like just yesterday, me and Johnny was building tree huts, and me and Roger was playing in the woods and sneaking in Cordell's Lake over there and fishing. Amen. It just seemed like yesterday we was just kids playing in the woods. And man, boy, you wake up one day and you turn around and it's gone. And you know what I realized? I cannot get 48 back. I can't do it again. I only had one shot at it. I can't do anything about the past. How many times have you made this statement? Boy, I wish I could go back.
Amen.
I wish I could go back. You're wasting your time wishing because you can't go back.
Right.
There's no way. You cannot go backwards in time. But I want to tell you what you can do this morning. By the grace of God and the help of God, you can go forward.
Amen.
I can't do anything about yesterday, but I can do something about tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Somebody help me right there. I can't do anything about yesterday. It's gone. But I have tomorrow by the grace of God. I don't know that for sure. I could die in my sleep tonight. But by the grace of God, I'll wake up tomorrow and it'll be Monday. And you know what Monday's going to be? It's going to be what I make it.
That's right.
Amen. Here's the thought this morning, just for a few minutes. How to make the rest of your life the best of your life. Or how to make the best out of the rest of your life. Have you ever had a point in time in your life when something happened that made a drastic change and things got greatly better? How many of you are saved this morning? Talk to me.
Amen.
Amen. Man, when I got saved, that made a difference. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Thank God. Hey, I know, listen, some people preach when you get saved, you've got to automatically be this super Christian with a cape and all that. We don't preach that here. We believe it takes time to grow.
Amen.
Amen. But let me tell you something. When I got saved, something did change.
Yes.
I loved my wife like I'd never loved her before. I loved people like I'd never. I mean, something changed down on the inside of my heart. And then surely as time went on, that inward change began to work on an outward change.
Amen.
And God made a difference in my life. I'd have to say that at 19 years old, my life got way better as a saved young man than it ever had been in the past. Yeah. Amen. Man, you've got life with Jesus and you've got life without Jesus.
Right.
And life without Jesus is the best you can do at best.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
And our best isn't very much.
Amen.
But with Jesus, life is the best he can do.
Amen.
People come in my office, fix my marriage. I can't fix your marriage. Fix my marriage. Fix our teenager. I can't fix anybody. I'm broke myself. Are you listening? But I'm serving one who can fix anything and can fix anybody at any time. They ain't a marriage too far gone. This ain't in my notes. I don't know why I'm bringing that out, but let me say it again. There ain't a marriage too far gone. We've got them sitting here this morning. Jeremy and Michelle, Brother Jeremy's mom and dad here this morning. It's good to see y'all. Hey, brother, when they came here, they were living in separate houses. And they don't mind me telling that. They were separated. Jeremy or Michelle, one, I forget which one, said, hey, I got an idea. Let's try this. Let's at least do this. Let's give God a chance.
Amen.
Well, where do we go to church? Well, I don't know. Jeremy got on the internet. Thank God it has a useful purpose. Not many, but it does have a useful purpose. Jeremy got on the internet. They didn't have a clue where to go to church, and they found Happy Valley. They came here living in separate homes, separated, filing for divorce. Michelle got saved, Jeremy got right, and they've been here ever since. And I don't know, either they're faking and putting on a good show or they love each other. I think they love each other. What I'm saying is they had done all they knew to do. They were ready to throw in the towel on the marriage, but here's what they said. Let's give God a chance. Could I just encourage somebody this morning just to give God a chance? There are people in here this morning, no doubt in my mind, you're saved. You've died right now. You'd go to heaven, but you've given up on God. Somebody's hurt you. Somebody's done you wrong. Guess what? Life is full of that. Everywhere I go, there are hurt people. Oh, yeah. And if you think you're living in a world where Christians don't hurt each other, you got another thing coming.
That's right.
Some of the meanest, wickedest people I know are Christians.
Amen.
Or at least claim to be.
Right.
You don't have to say amen right there, but you know it's true. Drunks in a bar get along better than most Baptists I know. I don't know how drunks in a bar get along, but Brother Tommy said they get along pretty good. Amen. I'm serious heart attack, man. You don't ever hear about a bar split.
You're right. Come on, preacher.
You don't ever hear about a bar splitting and starting another across the street because they can't get along. No, man. But Baptist, oh, dear Lord, help us. Somebody's just gave up on God.
You're right.
Boy, we need to get back to a place where we say, hey, they finna be a change in my life. And I realize the only way it's going to change and the only way it's going to get better is I got to put God back where God belongs.
Amen.
Amen. I was visiting in the hospital the other day. Why does anybody go to Atlanta to go to a hospital? We have them around here. Y'all know that? They're building a brand new one in Dallas. Somebody said, you got to go to the hospital. So-and-so's in the hospital. Where are they at? Emory. Oh, Lord. It takes an act of God just to get there. Amen. They need an underground tunnel for preachers to get in the hospital. Anyway, I parked in the parking deck. I got there at like 8 o'clock in the morning, had to go around and round and round all the way up top on where it's outside. You know what I'm talking about? I parked on the roof of the place, and I had to walk all the way back down. And I walked past the car, Brother Robbie, and I just couldn't help but notice hey, I had a little statue on the dash. And I looked in the window, and I, you know, at first I thought maybe it's one of them little hula girls, you know, that dance going down the road. It wasn't. It was Jesus.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking about that rubber Jesus all the way in the hospital. I did. I could see that rubber Jesus on the dash. I mean, you get hit head on, rubber Jesus can't help you. Amen. I'm glad I got more. I'm glad my God consists more of a little statue on my dash. Are you listening to me this morning? Hey, you can get in a head-on collision, grab your rubber Jesus and die. I'm glad I got one that can't be contained in a doll. So I feel some preach coming from somewhere. Somebody help me. We'll have church. I said, I'm glad I got a Jesus that cannot be contained in a rubber doll. I'm glad I don't have to imagine him sitting on the dashboard, but I'm glad he's sitting on the throne. Woo! On the throne of my heart this morning. I serve a God who can make a difference in my life. I don't know where that rubber Jesus came from, but anyhow, I mean, boy, that's where some people have their hopes in. Yeah. Sister Irene today is in our bus ministry, dress up as your favorite Bible character day. Sister Irene, every one of them, I had to ask them, who are you? You know, because, you know, like you look at, don't you know who I am? No, I've never seen Joseph. I don't know what he looked like. You're guessing at best. Yeah. They all look the same. Sister Irene told me she was Mary. She said, I'm Mary. I said, can you get a prayer through for me? She said, I forgot my rosary beads. Some people counting on that stuff. I don't make nobody mad this morning, but some people are counting on that stuff. You know what Mary was? Human. I carried a step further and curl your toes up really bad. She is a sinner. Yes. Either that or the Bible's a lie. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to count on Mary. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to count on the Pope. Yes. Amen. Amen. Wouldn't you hate to know all your hope was in a perverted priest somewhere?
Yeah, come on,
preacher. Don't die on me. Back up out there. It says Baptist on the sign.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad my hope's in Jesus' blood. Amen. What if somebody told you that you could start all over? What if somebody told you you could start all over and make the rest of your life the best of your life? I don't care if you're 6 or 60, healthy or poor. Are you listening? You can make the rest of your life the best of your life. I'm not a golfer. I think it's the dumbest game anybody ever invented. It's solitary baseball. Hit it and go get it. I didn't have no brothers growing up, and I loved to play baseball. I'd throw that ball up, and I'd hit it across the pasture, and I'd have to go get it. And I'd hit it back the other way. That's golf.
Yeah.
Amen. I like to hunt and fish, so when I play golf, I knock it in the water and in the woods. Amen. But we was playing golf one day, and Brother Tom, I don't know where he's at, he's a golfer. I mean, he's a golfer. He's good at it, too, to hear him tell it. But we was playing golf, and that'll show we're not you a Christian.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. It'll make you cuss, make you want to.
Yeah.
Amen. Anyway, it was my turn to hit the ball. And I put that thing up on that tee, and I ran back. I mean, boy, I hit it good. I mean, I hit it a ton the wrong way. It was supposed to went out through yonder, and that thing went pew, just like I'd have knocked it. I mean, it went the wrong way. And I thought, man, I slammed that club on the ground. Brother Tom said, it's okay. You get a mulligan. I said, a mulligan? I said, what is that? I thought it was like a dunce award for knocking the ball sideways. He said, you get a mulligan. I said, I don't know. That don't even sound like something I want. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, it sounds kind of like you knock the ball in the woods, you get a wedgie. You know what I mean? I said, what's the mulligan? He said, you get to do it over.
Amen.
How about that? I said, I mean, you mean I get to do it again? And it don't count against me? Nope, you get one mulligan.
Amen.
I thought, hallelujah. How many of them has God given me? Amen. I just started calling it a do-over. Every hole I'd knock it in the woods, I say, can I do it over? I'm playing that pastoral authority thing. Can I do it again? No, you just get one. You want to keep your job at church? By all means, Pastor, hit it again. Amen. Anyway, by the grace of Brother Tom, I got several do-overs that day. And I shouldn't have. And by the grace of God, in life, I've gotten several do-overs. And I should not have got one. I have made mess after mess. Somebody help me. After mess after mess. And every time God says, hey, you get another mulligan. Because I love you. Because I'm full of mercy and I'm full of grace. I'm going to let you try it one more time. I think God has an Etch-A-Sketch. Anybody ever play with an Etch-A-Sketch growing up? Man, you've got them two little wheels on there. And boy, you know, people can actually draw stuff on that. I ain't one of them. But anyway, you draw something on that screen. Every time I draw something, I make a mess. And boy, you can turn that thing upside down. You can't tell it was ever there. You get a clean slate. You know, that's what I got when I got saved. I got a clean slate. Woo! I said, I got a clean slate. Hey, you get some of these guys, Stacy Bullock, Roger Bush, Johnny Cash, Randy Massey. You get some of these guys in here I grew up around. They could tell you some stuff about my past. But I'm glad when it comes to the God of heaven. Honey, when I got born again, he shook that thing and all that stuff they remember. God has forgotten. It's eternally gone. We'll never be brought up again. Thank God I got a brand new start. When I got saved, somebody could get a new start right here this morning. Amen? Suppose you got a chance to start that thing all over. Today could be that chance. Some of y'all came in here on the verge of killing one another. You could leave in a state of honeymoon. I don't know why I'm preaching that. Somebody needs some help this morning. Amen. There's a wife ready to throw in the towel. There's a husband ready to give up. You don't have to leave like you come in. Somebody come in on drugs, Brother Jason. They ain't got to leave that way. Somebody come in, their life is upside down and a mess. What you need to do is crawl up under the mercy of God and just let him shake your Etch-A-Sketch real good and give you a brand new start tomorrow. You say, how do I do that, preacher? Well, Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 33. Here's the answer. And I know somebody's going to say, can it really be that simple? It really is. The Lord said, but. You got to look at what's before but. Up there around verse number, 30, 29, 31, somewhere in there. He said, take no thought for your life, what you'll eat, what you'll wear, what you put on, all that kind of stuff. He said, take no thought for your life. And that's what we do. That's what we do. Hey, ain't none of us can sit here and say, well, I really take no thought for my life. What I'm going to eat. Some of y'all, sorry, rascals, sitting here thinking about where you're going to eat lunch right now.
You're right.
Your mind is a million miles away. You're thinking about Zaxby's.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. I hit the nail on the head. Somebody's thinking about a kicking chicken sandwich. Amen. I got ESPN, friend. I just read your mind. Amen. Yes, sir. Hey, I take no thought for my life. Every one of us do. Every one of us. But the Lord said not to. Don't worry about your stuff. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about it. Here's our problem. Our problem in life, why we can't make the best of life, is our priorities are backwards.
You're right.
In verse number 33, he said, back before that, he said, take no thought for your life, but, that but means, what I'm fixing to say is going to be totally opposite from what I just said.
Yes.
He said, but seek ye first. Seek ye when?
First.
Someone talk to me. Seek ye what?
First,
the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now watch this. There's an and there. God said, if you'll seek me first, and my righteousness, and all these things.
Yeah.
What things? What you'll eat, what you'll wear, where you'll live, what you'll drive. Are you listening to me? How you'll raise your children, how you'll get through this struggle, how you'll get through that struggle. Everything that's included in life. If you'll put me first, if you'll seek the kingdom of God first, all this other stuff will be added to you. Our problem is we got our priorities out of order and we want to get everything here fixed first. Had a man tell me yesterday, just witnessed to him a little bit, went to a team sorting, that's chasing cows with a horse. Anyway, went to a team sorting. I borrowed a leather punch thing to poke a hole in the saddle from a guy. He told me to come out and do his trailer, and it was just me and him, and we'd kind of hit it off. And I liked the guy. And the Lord just put it on my heart and said, Lord, witness this guy. Found out he's saved. Amen. Found out he's saved. Hadn't been going to church like he ought to. Talked to another fella. Same place yesterday. Well, we used to go to church. And soon as we get this sorted out and that sorted out. Now, that's our attitude. As soon as we get everything in order out here in our lives, when we get everything in order in our marriage and we get everything sorted out on the job and we get all this straightened out, then we're going to come back and just allow God to be God in our life. You got it backwards because you can't sort it out. You can't figure it out. You can't fix it up and you can't patch it up. You might as well go ahead and let God be God and let everything else fall wherever it may, and you'll find out if you'll put Him first, all that other stuff will work out. It wasn't a marriage counselor Jeremy and Michelle needed. They was too jacked up for me. I couldn't help them. Amen. I'd have probably said, you're right, sis, kill him. Amen. I'm not a certified counselor. People think I am. I had a guy call me on the phone one day. I told them not to get married to start with. I did. I told them flat out. I said, y'all get married, you're both idiots. Amen. Why shouldn't we get married? I said, because you're an idiot and she's an idiot. At least one of you should have some sense and neither of you do. This ain't going to work. And they got married. Moved right down the street from me. Called me every day. Every day. Something, I mean, it's all breaking loose. The wheels have come off the wagon. He called me one day wanting counsel from his pastor. He was hollering, Brother Eddie, she's hitting me. What should I do? I said, hit her back. Punch her out, dude. Some of y'all look at me like, pastor, I didn't know what to tell him. He called me the next day and said, Brother Eddie, she's packing her bags. I don't know what to do. I said, help her. Somebody said, I ain't calling you for counsel. I told you I ain't no counselor. She wants to leave. You need some money? You need a cab fare? What do you need? Look, man, we've tried everything we know to do. Why don't we give God a chance? Why don't we taste the Lord, the Bible said, and see that He's good? God ain't going to hurt you. He only wants to help you.
Amen.
We ought to seek proper priorities. Now listen, everything rises and falls right here. You tell me how your life's going, I'll tell you where God is. You say, no, wait a minute, preacher, I know some godly people are having a hard time. Oh, I do too. But they still got joy in their heart. They still love each other. I have actually stood in funeral homes and shouted joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, son, Brother Tommy.
Yeah.
Man, his little old mama died. Woo! Son, it was a party. Boy, it got quiet. Man, we knew where she was going.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I mean, out of her own mouth told me where she is going. Brother Charles' little old mama, she just pulled my head down on her chest the day before she died. She said, Brother Eddie, I want to go home. I thought, you are home. She said, no, not here. I want to go home.
Amen.
Yeah, they still have trouble. Christians still have problems every day. But man, when we put God where he ought to be in our lives, and I ain't just talking to lost people this morning, I'm talking to church members. You hadn't sought God first in a long time. You've made decisions all on your own without him. I'm talking about major decisions. Had a man tell me one time, said, Pastor, we're moving to another state. I said, is there a good church there? He said, no, but there's a good job there. I don't know about a church, but there's a good job. We'll find a church. I'd find a church first.
Amen.
Had a guy call me from New York, just about an hour north of New York City. I'm talking about, that's about as Yankee as you get. Somebody help me right there. Some dude found me on the internet. Called me up, wanted to ask, I mean, he had a grocery list of questions about our doctrine, our beliefs, the King James Bible, our music, all that stuff. And I'm thinking, you're in New York, dude. Where's this going? He said, I'm thinking about moving there. I said, is your job moving you here? He said, nope.
Wow.
He said, your church is moving me there. I thought, dude, you might as well come visit first. Don't buy no house.
Amen.
Let me introduce you to some people. Yeah. But seriously, he just said the Lord spoke to my heart and told me that's where I'm supposed to be. I said, man, don't look for me to advise you there. You mind God. Don't hold me responsible if you move here and your life flies apart. That ain't got nothing to do with me. Amen. I don't care how much www. You found, amen?
Yeah.
But seriously, I think he had his priorities maybe a little better than some.
Yeah, you're right.
He's seeking God first.
Right.
He was more interested in the Bible Institute, what we teach, what we believe, what we preach. He was more interested in our church and the ministries and the different things going on. He talked to him about the bus ministry for 10 minutes. Before we ever got off the phone, he said, oh, yeah, wait a minute, I got one more question. What's the jobs like around there? That was the last thing on his mind.
Amen.
I lied. I told him, I said, man, these jobs everywhere. No, I didn't. I told him the truth. I said, man, it's tough. He said, well, if the Lord wants me to move, he said, he'll provide a... You understand what he's saying?
Amen.
Basically, what he's saying is what Jesus did, seek you first, the kingdom of God. And his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If I put God where God ought to be in my life, he'll take care of all that other stuff. If I'll just put God first, I'll get a kicking chicken sandwich. Are you listening? Some of y'all salivating right now. Y'all ate that? Woo! That's good stuff. We going to Zaxby's. I've talked myself into it. Amen. You put God first, he'll take care of those things. We all right?
Amen.
Somebody just needs to come this morning and say, God, I just want to put you back in your rightful place. By the way, if you're going to seek a kingdom, there's no such thing as a kingdom without a king.
Amen.
Seek you first the kingdom of God. If you're going to seek a kingdom, you must first seek the king.
Yes.
And he is the king.
Amen.
By the way, he's the king of kings.
Amen.
And he's the Lord of lords.
Yes.
Simply put this morning, where is God in your life? But seek ye first. That means to actively pursue or to go after. You understand that? Man, every day in our life, we ought to go after him. Amen. Isn't that what Jesus said? Let a man deny himself, take up his cross, and come after me. Where is God in your marriage? Where is God in your family? And your children. When's the last time you took that teenager by the hand and said, let's pray together?
Amen.
When's the last time you got that wife by the hand and said, honey, let's go to the altar and pray for our home.
Yes.
And our family.
Amen.
Let's pray for our future. Brother Shane just got engaged this week. Do you know he's missing a leg? You know? Well, I just thought we'd inform her. Before they ever cut that off, sis, he's crippled. Way too high for crutches. But they got engaged this week. And I noticed this morning during the singing, Brother Shane, Miss Janie, they came down here to the altar. And you know what they was doing? They was praying. Yeah. Amen. What a novel idea.
Yeah.
What a way to get a start on a life together.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Hey, it works. Yes. Just saying, why don't you get on this altar and put God back, put Him first in your marriage.
Yes.
Y'all all right? Mr. Wynn, Miss Liz, they just got married here, what, Tuesday night? Wasn't it Tuesday night? Praise the Lord. I wish they'd do it again this week. They'd give me $100. Hallelujah. I'd marry y'all once a week, amen? Hey, they just got married here Tuesday night. Boy, God's been so good to them. Man, I was thinking about them all week. Miss Heidi, I've been thinking about them all week. I stand there, I like to play Walmart greeter on Sunday. I got a badge in my office. Somebody made me. I don't wear it really, but I like to open the door and welcome people. I stand up there at the door. Here they come across the parking lot. Well, and you know what I was thinking? I thought, boy, that sure is pretty. Not you. Talking about your wife and that baby. I thought, boy, it sure is pretty. Seeing them coming across that parking lot together. Brand new husband, brand new wife. Ain't God good?
Amen.
Man, that's the way to get her started right there. Put God first.
Amen.
Get your priorities right. I am the world's worst to let my priorities get out of whack. I'm a scatterbrained. I'm borderline schizophrenic. Oh, yeah. They didn't have nothing for what I am when I was growing up. Now they got all kind of initials for it. Amen. I'm ADD and ADHD and obsessive compulsive. Is that what you call that? Disorder. I got all that stuff. I do. Mama just used to beat it out of us. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to me seriously this morning. If we give God a chance, I promise He can make that. I don't even know why I said that. I told you I could. God can do something in a marriage.
Amen.
He can help you where Oprah ain't got no answers.
Amen.
Why would you ask the old maid
Amen.
About marriage? Dr. Phil.
Yeah, come on.
You don't need Dr. Phil.
That's right.
You need Dr. Jesus this morning.
Amen.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Listen, man, if we're not careful, we'll get about making money.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing wrong with making money if God's first. If
yeah.
God's first, you'll do what you're supposed to do with that money.
That's right.
Yeah. Me and my son, we spent a lot of time together last couple of weeks, and we talked about a lot of people. Boy, it got quiet again. I meant in a good way.
Yeah.
He is talking about Brother Jason Crow. He said, boy, God sure does bless His work, don't He? I said, yep, you don't know why? Because there ain't never a need. Ain't never a need that anybody's got that Brother Jason ain't reaching toward that hip. God blesses him because he puts God first.
Yeah. Amen.
I believe that, and I ain't trying to pump him up this morning. He's an idiot, but God blesses him. He does. Brother Jason's saying amen right there. He knows. Daphne's shouting amen. He is. He's as crazy as a sprayed roach, man, but he does put the Lord first in his life. And God blesses him, man. I'm telling you, there ain't no real message to this morning. This is it. Where's he at? When trouble comes, you have to go hunt him. People call me all the time, pray, pray. You pray.
Amen.
Had a guy call me one time, asked me to fast over a situation. I said, you going too? He said, no. I said, well, don't ask me to go without him. I got a tapeworm, man. You, what about you? We pass that prayer sheet on Wednesday night, and I don't mean to be critical, but I wonder how much time you've spent on what you wrote down.
Uh-huh. That's good, preacher. Amen.
That's good.
I don't mind praying. I'm going to regardless. I don't mind seeking God on your behalf, but what are you doing with it? Where is God in your life? Who's first, Him or the bills? Who's first, him or the ball field?
Yeah, come on.
Amen.
Boy, it's gotten quiet. And if we just put him first, he'd take care of all that other stuff. Some people think if you get right with God and put God first in your life, all you ever do is go to church. You don't get to do nothing else. That's lying.
Amen.
Man, you put God first, he'll let you have a blast.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I went to that little event yesterday. I told my wife, man, I had a blast. It was awesome. Lord, let me do that. We got quiet again. Where is he? Is he up here? Is he somewhere in here? Well, if we have time, if nothing else comes up, we'll go to church.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Well, let me tell you something. If that's where you got God, something's going to come up. Something's going to come up.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Amen.
But boy, if you'll just put him first in every area of your life, your marriage, your children, your finances, your job, everything. I'm trying to tell you how to make the rest of your life the best of your life. Put God in his rightful place. Watch tomorrow be a little brighter. Watch tomorrow be a little better. Some of us are miserable this morning, and we know why. I've heard people testify in this church over and over and over again, I'm not where I ought to be. Well, get where you ought to be. That's a no-brainer, right? I know what I ought to be doing. Well, do it. We make those statements all the time. I know I ought to be doing this, and I know I ought to be doing it. Well, do it. If you know it's going to improve your quality of life, and if it's going to make things better, if it's going to make your marriage better, do it.
Yeah.
Let's stand to our feet this morning. Probably the sorriest message I ever preached in my life. But boy, that's what God gave me, and he just erased the outline in front of my face this morning. I hope I said what he wanted me to say. Brother Todd, y'all come. Get us a song this morning. While they're coming, if we could, just bow our heads together and close our eyes this morning. Nobody looking around. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to ask that question one more time. Whether you're saved, whether you're lost, you may have been saved for years and years and years. Going to heaven when you die, no doubt about it in your mind. But seriously, where is he at this morning? I was thinking about Mary and Joseph, the Lord's earthly parents. They went to a big celebration one day and got halfway home before they realized they'd left Jesus there. Where have you left him? I wonder if there's somebody here this morning say, preacher, I need to seek him. I don't even know him. If I died right now, I'm not sure heaven would be my home. I don't want to die and go to hell. I sure would love to give the Lord a chance to do something in my heart. Pray for me. I'd get this thing settled. I wouldn't come to you or embarrass you. You just slip up your hand and say, preacher, I'm not saved. Please remember me when you pray. Just slip up your hand. Anybody? God bless your heart. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Preacher, pray for me. I need to get this thing about where I'll spend eternity settled. God bless you, sir. How about this morning? Preacher, I know. There ain't no doubt in my mind if I fell over dead right now. I know I'm going to heaven. But I've got God so far away. Nowhere near where he needs to be in my life. Preacher, pray for me that I get him back to his rightful place. I'd get my priorities back where they ought to be with the Lord. How about that this morning? Hands all over his building. Thank you for being honest this morning. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again this morning in Jesus' name, Lord, you saw every hand, you know every heart. Lord, I just pray you'd have your way in this altar call. Don't let anybody leave not knowing you as their Savior. Lord, help us all, God, to put you in your rightful place, God. Lord, to seek you first. Lord, we worry about all this stuff, our health, our wealth, God. We worry about our relationships. Lord,
In reality, if we just make sure that relationship's right with you, Lord, I believe your word. I believe everything else would just work out. God, help us to do that. Lord, we're human, we're flesh, and we're weak. But God, if with your help, God, we can do it. And I pray you'd help us this morning. Again, Father, have your way, and we'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God, dealing with your heart, why don't you come?